I'm Jeremy Loeb with BPR News. I'm joined now in the studio by Andrew Jones of Climate Interactive. Welcome back, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
You know, and the last time you were here, we talked about what would happen if
Yeah.
Donald Trump pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of information for that. And I guess now it's time to rehash that.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy. So last time I was David Banner, and now I feel like the Hulk. I am mad. I am outraged at this ridiculous decision. It's a time for us, the whole region in Asheville, to get fired up, to get mad and motivated towards resisting and countering this ridiculous decision that was made. We need to do it by getting organized, and we need to do it by taking action locally. Those are the main two things on my mind, organization and taking action, because this is a time to be pissed at a horrible decision that compromises our economy, our future. It's just freaking ridiculous, Jeremy, that we've done this, pulled out of the Paris Accord.
The Paris Climate Accord is going to go forward. A lot of nations are saying that they're recommitting, basically, to the Climate Accord. What does the United States' absence mean?
Yeah, it's just the United States, and we are a country of leaders. When we see a problem, we rally ourselves through innovation, through action, through leadership. We make things happen. We had been making things happen, and now we're reversing this entirely. So what we're losing is that leadership and also moral responsibility. A disproportionate amount of the emissions that cause this problem, 21%, come from 4% of the global population. Us, we caused the problem. We should fix it because we're leaders and because we're accountable. We're moral people. This is against that entirely.
President Trump gave a number of reasons why he was pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Yeah,
most of those had to do with jobs. Can you talk a little bit about his rationale?
Yeah. So this is why I'm so outraged, is that his speech had so little solid, grounded logic in it. He was twisting some of the numbers, using old numbers, towards his own ends. And one of the points was, he said, oh, there will be just a tiny, tiny, tiny little impact of the Paris Accord on the actual temperature and on global warming. That is a distortion of the findings that came out of some colleagues of ours at MIT. He's really just using the numbers to support his position, which is, frankly, to support the fossil fuel industry that is telling him, no, don't take action. We want to use this antiquated technology to deliver energy, when that really is not what helps our economy and does not support jobs.
And so you're saying he's strategically selecting certain numbers, or he's distorting the numbers?
He has been cherry-picking numbers and distorting them in order to make the points that he really wants to make. And we've been digging into it, and it's just dishonest, but that's the game he's playing.
We talked right after the election of Donald Trump, and you were still optimistic at that point. How do you feel? Obviously, you're a little angry right now.
I'm angry and optimistic.
Angry, optimistic,
hopeful. Yeah, because look at this region and what we're doing here in Asheville. I was just speaking with Julie Mayfield, city councilwoman, who was telling me about the effort to avoid building another gas-fired power plant. We need to avoid fossil fuel infrastructure with renewable energy, wind, solar, rooftop solar, energy efficiency. We can do things in this area. Brownie Newman, I remember, what was it, 8 years ago, he said that the city was going to reduce emissions 80% by 2050. 76 other cities have signed on to that. We were one of the early ones. So there's action that can be taken here locally. And then also organization. Did you see this rally we had, the climate rally, what was it, about a month ago? I had been on some climate rallies that were thin, Jeremy, thin. This last one was big. There were 1,000 people rallying. We get organized and we take action. That builds my hope.
Just hearing a number of the reactions that came in after Trump's announcement, I've heard a lot of people say this could be that galvanizing force. Do you think that's going to be what happens?
Yes. We are mad, outraged, and now we are resolved. And I see that in people's faces as I talk to them just this morning. Resolve, resolve, resolve. That's what we need. And it could be a spark that we're not going to rely on the national government to do this. States, cities, communities, businesses stepping up to say, okay, we cannot count on the national government to make this happen. We need to act.
The goal of the Paris Climate Accord was to keep the rising temperatures below that 2 degrees Celsius level. How does this impact that effort?
Yeah, so if we did nothing, we would be heading around 4.2 degrees C. This is a world we cannot adapt to. We want to keep it below 2 degrees. Right now, if you put all the pledges together, before this announcement, we would be warming about 3.3 degrees. That's taking the actions of China and Uruguay and Thailand and the US and EU, everybody together. this pushes us back up. We're doing the math right now over in the collider in the fourth floor of the Wells Fargo building to figure out how much more. But it still means we have a lot of work to do about not investing in fossil fuel infrastructure, keeping coal, oil, and gas safely in the ground.
This puts Asheville once again in the spotlight. Can you just talk about what the last day or so has been like over at the Collider?
Things were buzzing at the Collider yesterday. Media coming in and, you know, led by James McMahon and the team over there, Kathy Peterson, whom you know, like everybody is trying to make sure that we can support the world both to prevent this problem. That's what you and I've been talking about. But also we know that these changes are here. You remember what that smoke smelled like from over the mountains when we had those forest fires in Gatlinburg. And so that's the work of adapting and being resilient to the changes that are here. And most of the amazing new businesses that are coming out of the Collider are trying to help us adapt better and thrive in a changing world.
What do you hope people will do now that we know that we're out of the Paris Climate Accord?
Now that we're out of the Paris Accord, what I hope people do is A, organize at whatever level is possible. And that can be political organizing at your like religious organizations, businesses, whatever level feels appropriate. Republicans out there, there's a great organization on that. Bob Inglis in Greenville leads it. Organizing. And then secondly, taking action. Isaac Dixon is putting up solar on top of its roofs. I hired Sundance to come out and take care of things. Reduce your carbon footprint. Get organized.
Now, of course, this latest news about the Paris Climate Accord is the biggest when it comes to some of the actions that he's taken, I think. But he's also effectively ended the Clean Power Plan. He's nominated Scott Pruitt to head the EPA. And of course, he's there now. Talk a little bit about the first 6 months of the Trump presidency.
Yeah. So President Trump has tried to dismantle most of the legislation that would deliver on our commitment to the Paris Accord and commitment to the world, and has dismantled many of those actions. But one bit of good news is the failure to dismantle the methane rules that were put in place. The Senate stood up and said, no, we're keeping that. That's smart. So that's the hope. And that's what we need is we need to get our politicians to support the resistance to these really boneheaded policies.
Andrew Jones of Climate Interactive. Andrew, thank you so much.
Happy to be here, Jeremy. Thanks.